Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on A Foul Territory TV, which you guys can catch on Bally Sports Monday, Thursday, and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern. We are going to talk to Scott Braun here in just a moment, but type in Foul Territory on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast with insider Ken Rosenthal, AJ Pierzynski, former Gardos, or former Cleveland Indian, Jason Kipnis, Todd Frazier, and many more big leaguers bringing real talk reaction to news and MLB player interviews. You can also catch the show every day, 1 to 3 p.m. Here Eastern, live on Bally Sports Ohio. Scott, welcome to the show.
Nick, great to talk. How are you feeling? Are Guardians fans still okay, or are they starting to panic about their spot in the division?
I think a fair amount of us are all running in separate directions. I am not panicking yet, but after this weekend, I think some of my fellow Gardos fans are. Are they right to panic?
Yes and no. It depends what your expectations are. Are your expectations to win a World Series, or are they to make the playoffs? I think this team is still in a strong position to be a postseason team. I'm not convinced that this team is going to be the next surprise to make a World Series run based on what the pitching looks like. I mean, the pitching barely made it through the first half of the season, right? The starting pitching innings are just not sustainable for a bullpen. The bullpen's going to start to feel the effects of that. I do think that most things played out to the best of expectations for the offense. So you're seeing some regression to the mean over the last month and change. That will continue if they don't do anything big at the trade deadline. I imagine they're going to make some moves, but hopefully multiple.
So it's interesting where you're at, because there are some people who are kind of 1 foot on the Guardians bandwagon and 1 foot off. They very much enjoyed the Guardians' first 77 games, where they at one point were on pace to win 108 games this season. But now that the last 21 games have transpired, they've started to say things like, well, I think this shows you that the first 77 games were a fluke. Do you look at those first 77 games, that ridiculous pace? And really, most of the time they're on pace for like 104 wins. Do you look at that as more flukish?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I don't think it was a 108-win team when I was looking at them. And I do think they're a playoff team. And that in itself, I think people have to realize, is surprising. Maybe not locally, but I'm covering the sport nationally for Foul Territory. And none of our guys, nobody we brought on as guests, and that's hundreds and hundreds of people, right? We do a show every day with three guests. Nobody had Cleveland making the playoffs this year. Nobody on the national level. So that should tell you right away that they're exceeding expectations. So, yeah, I mean, this team's probably more of a 90-win team than a 108-win team, and 90 wins still gets you in the playoffs, whether it's a wild card or a division winner. They happen to be in a division where the Royals are good. I don't think they're amazing. I think they're going to be aggressive at the trade deadline after a pretty aggressive offseason. And the Twins are good, not great as well, and just got hit with some injuries, including Carlos Correa, now down for at least a couple weeks, which I think really bites. But here's the thing, Nick. I have a wish list that's pretty long for Cleveland. I'm very confident they're not going to fulfill the whole wish list. But if I'm a Guardians fan, I'm hoping that we at least get one. One would be like, eh. Two out of the three would be like, okay, I feel good about this. I understand they're not going to sacrifice the whole future for this year. But they need corner outfield pop. They need, in my mind, potentially a catcher that can smack the ball around a little bit better. And I do think there's one in Colorado who would fit that. And then starting pitching for sure. I mean, they are not going to make it through the rest of the season with the way that the rotation looks like right now, in my mind. If they lose a pitcher or two, they're in trouble.
So, you know, we like the name game. You're saying corner infield pop. Give me some names to make me thirsty here.
Okay. Randy Arozarena, I think, is going to get dealt. He's talked about with a lot of teams. I think it'd be fun in Cleveland. This is the big one in the division. It would cost a lot, both in money and prospects. But if I'm a Guardians fan, I'd love to see Luis Robert Jr. with Cleveland. You just haven't had that type of dynamic outfield talent. You can play center. It can definitely handle the corners for you at an above-average level. And if you're worried about some of the players from the White Sox that have kind of lost their way and it was a bad clubhouse for years, no better place to go than Cleveland with Jose Ramirez leading the charge, right? Like every single day is a superstar getting paid pretty good money, shows up and plays like he's trying to make the team. It would be perfect for Luis Robert Jr. I think he would thrive here. Do I see Cleveland doing that? Probably not in terms of what it would cost, in terms of the White Sox giving up a player within the division, and what it would cost in terms of money too. I mean, Cleveland is operating at a very low budget. At this point, it's a shame that they're doing that. They shouldn't be operating this way anymore. I understood it during the rebuild period, but attendance was up a lot last year. It's looked pretty good this year. Spend the damn money. Other names, Jazz Chisholm could be a fit there as well. I mean, above average offensive player, can play a number of positions for Cleveland. And then maybe a name people aren't as familiar with, but a solid bat like a Lane Thomas, a Taylor Ward from the Angels. All of those guys would be upgrades in the corner for this team.
So with that, and by the way, we appreciate it. Sometimes we'll have people on, we'll try and play the name game, and they're like, how'd you feel about Tommy Pham? And then they never appear on the show again. So I appreciate you actually bringing names to the name game, but it's probably too much to say frontline pitcher, frontline hitter. But you could get a frontline pitcher and a decent bat, or you could get a frontline bat and more of an innings eater, an Eric Fetty type pitcher. If those are the two categories, again, frontline pitcher and a decent bat, or frontline bat and an innings eater pitcher, what do you think fixes, quote unquote, the Guardians more?
Ooh.
I only ask the tough questions, Scott.
No. I like it. I'm taking my 3 seconds to think. I think they need a starter, or they're not going to make it through the season. You know, I think that's a need, but I agree that it could be a back end starter and it's okay. It could be a veteran guy to fill depth. Fetty's a great name. He's a very coveted name. There are a number of starters. I think a Tyler Anderson would be a nice name too. Again, picking on the Angels, I think there's potentially just as much upside with him versus Fetty. Definitely can eat innings for you. He's a veteran starter that should be able to go every fifth day for the rest of the season. And here's the clear-cut delineation that I do like with both Fetty and Anderson. They can pitch a playoff game for you. Even though you don't think of them as your one or your two, can they pitch game three for you in a playoff series? Sure. And I think that's very important. I try to separate that when we get to the trade deadline. Like, there's really back-end starters that I can dig for in terms of names for you, but that's one that fits. I mean, trying to come up with other names for you, a Jameson Taillon, I think, fits in a similar realm. Again, I don't know if they would take on that money, but I could see the Cubs dealing him. The Cubs are falling apart, so there's one for you. I mean, you could hop within the same state if the Reds keep falling apart and look at someone like Frankie Montas as another name who should be able to start playoff games for you. And You know, he's been a little bit rougher lately, but still like the pitcher. If anything, that gives you a better chance to buy a guy with an ERA in the higher fours right now, but was off to a strong start to the season. So I'm floating names that I feel like, Nick, could be realistic for Cleveland versus talking about a Garrett Crochet or definitely no chance that they're acquiring Tarik Skubal. I don't think he's going to get dealt. If he does get dealt, they're not sending him to Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't get, and I actually have my buddy Jim, who works on the ticket in the mornings up in Detroit, and I actually was badgering him that he should be outraged at the idea of trading Skubal, no matter what the price is, because Detroit isn't a small market team, and they're really within striking distance in the wild card, and they're not, I mean, I know they're 11 games off in the Central, that's a pretty big gap, but like, they have one of the better rotations in baseball. I fundamentally don't understand how any Tigers fan could endorse the idea of trading Skubal, even if it's for Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo and one other top prospect from Baltimore. Are you as outraged as I am?
Yeah, I would be outraged as a Tigers fan, and this is why you get kicked off when you have a fun owner who cares about winning in the late, great Mike Ilitch, and then the baton gets passed on to the next generation. This happens very often in the sport of baseball, where the next generation looks at it more like a financial investment. Tarik Skubal not only shouldn't be traded, he should be signed to an extension. If you're worried, oh, he's only got 2 years left after this. So when are the Tigers planning on competing? Because it's been a minute. And I know it's been a disappointing season for them, and I do not think they're going to make the playoffs. They've had a nice little run lately. This is not the kind of player that you trade. I know he's had some injury issues in the past. I think that he'll be a pretty healthy, durable starting pitcher for the next 5 to 7 years. He's 6'3", 240 pounds. He's a bulldog. He's just finding everything clicking at the perfect time. Your age 27 season, what the heck are you doing? It's so hard to find pitchers like this. I'm shocked that the name would even be floated around. I hope that it's more just teams calling about him and then the Tigers hanging up the phone, because I don't know what would talk them into trading a guy like this. It's not like he's a rental and he's going to be a free agent after this year and they feel like he doesn't want to stay. You know, if they really feel like they've had talks with him, they've offered contract extensions and he hates it there. I don't think that's the case. Skubal's on our show, Foul Territory, all the time. Seems like he likes Detroit. He believes in, you know, being part of the next winning team. And I don't think the Tigers are that far away either. So, yes, agreed. Tell your friend this is crazy. And there should be absolute uproar in Detroit if they trade him away.
Scott Braun, Foul Territory TV on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, as we look around, if you look at teams in the top six spots in the AL, the Orioles have had a little stagger here. The Yankees have had their struggles, you know, approaching the All-Star break, well documented. The Twins have kind of hit a little bit of a chill here. We mentioned the Guardians as well. Really the only two teams, even the last 10 games, with a 500 or better winning percentage are the Astros and Royals. So how do you kind of suss out the struggles? If we grade each one of those, you know, the Orioles, Guardians, Yanks, and Twins, concernometers 1 to 10, where would you set it for each one of those teams?
I'm not too concerned about Baltimore right now. I love their offense. Maybe they acquire a right-handed hitting outfield bat, some type of platoon, maybe, but it's not super necessary. And like you mentioned, there's still prospects down at the farm in AAA that I think could get called up over the next month or two who could be very valuable contributors. They need pitching, but they know that, and they have assets to be able to trade. So I'm very unconcerned. They did it before the season started with Corbin Burns. They'll most likely acquire a starter. Doesn't have to be a front-end starter because you've got some front-end guys, but they'll acquire a starter. They will acquire a reliever, too. My biggest concern for Baltimore is Craig Kimbrell. I do not trust him going to the playoffs. I don't care if he doesn't let up a run for the rest of the second half of the season. I do not want him closing out games for me in the playoffs. There's been too many roller coaster experiences for this time in his career. So my concern level for them is low, as long as they understand that. My concern level for the Yankees is a bit higher. Their farm system is not in a great spot right now. It's probably average, if not a bit below. A lot of their guys are in low A that have the highest potential, besides, you know, two or three big names they really don't think they want to trade away. They have some weird holes in their infield. Like, Gleyber Torres has not hit for most of the year. What are you going to do? Are you going to give up on him? He's still a guy who could probably find it in a second and get really hot. Are you going to, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to cut him? Like, you're not putting him in a trade. We've had many people be like, oh, we'll trade him to the Marlins or this team or that. I'm like, they're not contending, and he's a free agent after this year. So my meter for them would be higher than it would be for Baltimore. Like, my meter for Baltimore is probably a 3. My meter for the Yankees is probably a 6.5 or 7, because I think they have more work to do at the trade deadline. My meter for the Mariners is pretty high because they have pitching to win a World Series right now, but they haven't addressed their offense. They didn't do it in the offseason. They tried to be cute and stay in a certain payroll range. It has not worked. It has come crashing down and failed miserably for them. So they have a lot of work to do at the trade deadline right now. The Astros have to acquire a back-end starter or two, Nick, but I think they will do that. It's the same problem here. We have so many pitching injuries. Most teams need to get innings filled. I think the Astros will do that. And then besides that, if Kyle Tucker comes back and he's healthy, they're a World Series contender, as usual. They're going to be a pest. So who did I miss? Anyone else?
I blacked out. I think you got them all. I think that was. I think you've played better baseball there than the Guardians have in their last 21 games. So this does bring us to: have you seen the link between Nick Castellanos' home runs and historic events?
Yeah, there were some people that saw the news yesterday.
Is he our generation's Nostradamus?
He must be, right? Has anyone asked him about this? That's my question. I don't think I've seen any quotes from him, and he's one of the better quotes in the league if you catch him on the right day. So I would love to hear what he has to say about it. You know, sometimes he'll embrace something like that, or sometimes he'll just be like, no, I'm not getting into that. But yeah, it was funny. It's very timely. Nick pops up. So we'll see. Whatever rocks the world over the next month or two, a lot of people are going to be trying to, you know, don't put too much, but pull a little dough on Nick Castellanos to homer in the next game or at bat.
I'd be terrified to ask Nick Castellanos about it because I'd be afraid I'd be the next historic event. Like it's like looking a dog in its eyes or something. Like I'm afraid that it would just boomerang back on me and it'd be like fat radio host loses his life in a plane accident or something like that.
And he's pretty cool too. You know, I've been around him a lot. Like he will shoot you down if you say something that he doesn't like, and you'll feel like you tried to ask the popular kid in middle school for $5 to help you for lunch money, and he gave you like the most like you don't belong here, quite, you know, answer to it. So he's not a mean guy. He's a fun guy, but you know what I'm saying? Like he will talk some smack back at you and put you down if he doesn't like what you ask. So I'll have to ask around my baseball world and see if anyone's talked to Nick about that. I have some Phillies friends that, you know, cover them in the clubhouse every day, but it is a good call. Nick Castellanos always comes through.
Scott, the Guardians have already gone dumpster diving a few times this year. They just did with Spencer Howard. Turns out they then threw him back into the dumpster after one start. There have been a couple other guys, Darren McCacken, who's since come and gone, Matt Boyd, who's on a rehab assignment now coming off Tommy John. And yet I see Seattle just tossed Ty France on waivers. I know this is not going to move the needle for a lot of Guardians fans. Would a waiver claim on Ty France make sense for the Gardos?
Maybe. You're saying you would put, you know, him and Naylor at first base and DH back and forth?
Yeah, something like that.
Is that the idea there?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, for some reason, the Guardians seem to be in this bucket where they're just so damn cheap lately, and Ty France is due, what, $3 million for the rest of the year? Yeah, I mean, it would cost you nothing to give that a shot, but it's more along the lines of what a team, you know, with the larger budget would do. The name that I threw out there for Ty France during foul territory about an hour ago was the Astros. Astros are battling the Mariners for the division. The Astros cut Jose Abreu earlier this year, which was one of the better decisions that they made because he was struggling on offense and on defense. They have John Singleton at first base, but they could use Ty France there as well and see if he catches lightning in a bottle with the Crawford boxes. And I think that's something that would really tick off Seattle fans in the division. So I would say more like, I don't think it's going to happen probably for anyone in the league, because what happens here, Nick, is he'll pass through. And then if anything, if a team really does like him, they'll try and get the Seattle Mariners to pay for like $1 million or two. Like it's the game that we play nowadays. The front office execs are so Wall Street intense, but I would love to see a team pick them up. Yeah. If you're Cleveland, if we were in a perfect world and they weren't worried so much about their pockets, I would give him a shot. This is still, I would say at least an average bat in the big leagues. And he's not going to hit 30 homers for you, but it wasn't too long ago that he you know, was a 300-ish hitter. And I don't think he's, like, done. So, yeah, it's worth a shot, but I just don't think it'll happen.
Scott Braun, host of Foul Territory. Type in Foul Territory on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast with insiders. Ken Rosenthal, A.J. Pierzynski, Jason Kipnis, Todd Frazier, and many more big leaguers bringing real talk reaction to news and MLB player interviews. You can watch the show every day, 1 to 3 p.m. live on Bally Sports. Scott, electric stuff. Appreciate you playing along. And I think we're all in tune for a very, very exciting second half of the season. Can't wait, buddy.
Nick, awesome talking to you. I really enjoyed it. Happy trade deadline week to everyone. Let's get some deals done.
Let's get it done. Scott Braun there. Here's the thing. This is going to sound like I am, in some ways, apologizing for Lamar Jackson. I think some critiques of Lamar are fair. If you have the number one seed in the AFC, and the Chiefs are the 3 seed, you have home field advantage, you've got the better all-around team, and you have to win, you know, 2 games, they have to win 3 games, and when it comes down to the AFC title game, it was a close game, but Kansas City was in control of that game for most of the game. It's okay if some of the blame falls on Lamar Jackson. But I thought John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, had a pretty significant and honestly comprehensive reaction as the Ravens reported to camp, talking about Lamar Jackson's critics coming off another MVP caliber season and the team going to the AFC title game.
The old saying, you guys played sports, they used to tell you don't read your press clippings, right? We don't really have press clippings anymore. We got the phones and the computers. Press clipping, at least if it was bad, you could throw it up and throw it in the trash can. Now I want to. So I do flip through them, to be honest with you. I read the stuff. I see the guys say what they say on the shows. At least I get clips of them because they come up on your phone. And the good ones, I just scroll past because, you know, that's candy. You know, that's not real. But the bad ones, it's like I read it right away, you know, and don't let it go. And, that's okay. That's part of the deal. And Lamar, for whatever reason, you know, there's a lot of great things said about Lamar, but there's a lot of stuff that's said to you got to just scratch your head about and kind of wonder, what's that person even thinking, you know? So, but we take it personally. You know, Lamar's a guy all his life. Lamar Jackson has been a guy who's been answering those same questions. I'm talking about since he was a kid, junior high, high school, college, the draft, the success he's had in the National Football League, and it still comes up. And he's still growing. He's got a growth mindset. He's going to get better and better, no doubt. But what does he have to do to prove himself to some people, right? And so the thing for me is talking about vision again. You know, there's a vision. And I believe the Ravens and we've always had a vision for Lamar Jackson. It started with Lamar's vision and his mom's vision when he said he was going to be a quarterback. He was going to be a quarterback in high school. He's going to be a quarterback in college. He's going to be a quarterback in the National Football League. And we bought into that. We embraced it. We built an offense for it in 19. We're building another offense for it in 23 and 24 going forward, right? The next iteration of our offense around Lamar Jackson. Because in my opinion, the vision for Lamar Jackson, and it's a vision, it's something you see it like it's already happened. You can see it like it's already been done. The victory has already been won when you pour into a vision. And the vision that we have together is that Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback ever to play in the history of the National Football League. That's the vision, all right? It's gonna happen by Lamar, his work ethic, and his brilliant talent, by all of us pouring into that effort together as a team, teamwork, and by the grace of God and God's goodwill. That's how it's gonna happen. And I believe it like we've already seen.
So I just got to say, I love a rambling Harbaugh. I don't care if it's Jim Harbaugh. I don't care if it's John Harbaugh. I don't care if it's Papa Jack. Those dudes live on another level. Now, you can call that delusional, and people have called John delusional at points. You can call Jim delusional. But like, if you've ever read up on the relationship between people who just are relentlessly positive and the success of those people, there is something that speaks to relentless optimism and positivity. And if Lamar Jackson was my quarterback, I would love my head coach talking about that. And we're actually going to use this as a way to talk about Deshaun in just a minute here. But if your knock is, because again, John Harbaugh goes on this 2-minute diatribe about you know, Lamar, what's it going to take to get his respect? It starts with winning a Super Bowl. Fair or unfair, part of the Lamar criticism is no different than every other quarterback in the NFL, which is when you first come out and you play at an elite level, everybody goes, that is cool. That is the next face of the franchise. And then the next thing that happens is we look for, have they won a Super Bowl? And don't believe me, it's happening with Justin Herbert right now. Justin Herbert, the first time he really came out in that Kellen Moore offense 2 seasons ago, and he's always been a nice quarterback in the NFL, but especially once he got into more of a spread-out offense, everyone looked and said, oh my God, this guy is a monster. And then eventually expectations turn against you. So some of this is just you play for one of the preeminent franchises in football. You have an MVP to your name, right? Or sorry, 2 MVPs to your name. And you're seen as one of the best. And once you are seen as a top 5, top 10 quarterback, yeah, that gets weaponized against you. So some of this is just being a quarterback in the NFL, just the criticism. Some of it is he's a mobile quarterback. And because everything starts with his ability to be an elite runner, there is still, even now, a...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Pretty significant skepticism about guys. And Lamar is not a run-first quarterback. If you didn't watch Lamar last year as a passer, Lamar's a really good passer. Lamar's a much better passer than even his numbers in between his 2 MVP seasons would let you know. This isn't Michael Vick. This is an evolution of Michael Vick. Meaning if Michael became a much more consistent passer, that's what Lamar is. But the most elite thing the guy does is run. Because watch it. It's tantalizing. But for some reason, we don't respect mobile quarterbacks, or when your most elite trait is your legs, at large, the NFL does not respect those guys the same way we do guys who are elite-level passers. And some of that is tied into, can you win a championship? Some of that is, if every team could design the perfect quarterback, it starts with being an elite pocket passer or an elite playmaker with their arm. So fair or unfair, that's another part of the conversation. I also think, like, I think we should move the bar with Lamar now. It should be, can you win a championship and can you stay healthy for two straight years? But I've seen, and in just in conversations, I've heard Browns fans compare Deshaun to Lamar. And I do understand it. You know, Lamar had three straight years in between his two MVP years where there are people openly question, had Lamar lost it? Was 2018 or was 2019 a flash in the pan, right? Will he ever be that good again? And a lot of it had to do with injuries. But the difference is Lamar's still playing 12 to 15 games a year. He was playing through injuries. I don't think Lamar and Deshaun are fair comparisons. Because even though Deshaun can run, Deshaun is much more of an actual pocket-passing quarterback. Deshaun, even though Deshaun likes to make, like Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is a mobile quarterback, but he's a pocket, I hate pocket quarterback because that has such a connotation to it. But he is a pass-first quarterback. His elite trait, it begins with passing. Same with Deshaun Watson. So even though one guy's had injuries and there was conversations about have they lost it, the conversations with Lamar were a lot more fair because Lamar was actually playing enough games to make decisions on. The conversations, and again, neither of them is ever fair because it's not, who cares about fair when we're talking about sports? But the conversation with Deshaun is ridiculous off 11 games. It is. Like, in fairness, I can't definitively tell you Deshaun is going to bounce back and be Deshaun. I can't. I can't tell you he's going to stay healthy. But I don't look at his situation and Lamar's. Both have critics. But the critics are saying something different. Now the critics with Lamar are, hey, can that guy win a Super Bowl? Hey, is last year and the 2019 season, is that really indicative of who he is? Or is it the 3 years where he's been statistically a complicated player? Deshaun has to stay healthy for 12 to 15 to 17 games before we can start having that conversation with Deshaun Watson. Hope everybody got out to see Twisters this weekend. I did multiple times. You guys missed it on Friday. I kind of just did kind of a triple jeopardy thing where not only did I forget to tell Ness or communicate with Ness, and listen, I do not have a relationship where we need each other's permission, right? I need to ask my wife for the ability to go out, and nor does she have one for me. All right, but we do communicate, and so we'll tell each other what's going on, and usually give each other time in advance to plan. So let's just be honest. I totally made plans with my best friend Jeremy, forgot about it. I did. And then on Thursday night, the plans were for Friday night. While talking with her, I just was like, after we did the daily download, like as a married couple, we're at the point where once all the noise of me getting home, the dog loses his mind. Oh, dad's home. This is the greatest thing. Let's go outside and play fetch. And then the kids want to go play fetch because the kids lose their mind. I don't play fetch with the kids. I was joking. But then after about 15 minutes, everybody simmered down. Everybody realizes dad's going to turn something they don't want to watch on TV. So they go somewhere else. Then we have a little daily download. 5 minutes of what's happening in my day, where I'm at, things I have to remember. Then 5 minute daily download for her. So you catch up and then you got to sit down and just watch something stupid on TV to forget about the fact that you had to work all day and to do a bunch of grown up stuff nobody wants to do. Well, within our 10-minute daily download, on Thursday, did not remember to tell her that I was hanging out with one of my best friends the next night. So that came up in the worst possible way when she's like, hey, do you want to go see Twisters tomorrow night? And I was like, well, there's a problem with that. I'm going to Spunkmeyer's in Wadsworth with my best friend tomorrow night. Oh, when did that get decided? And now this is a place where if I were a less honest man, I could have said, I told you about it 2 weeks ago. You don't remember? Because whether I do tell my wife about things 2 weeks in advance or not, she does not remember. Like, she gets mad all the time. Why didn't you tell me? I totally did. I'm going to start actually just video recording everything just so that she knows I'm not scamming her. But I chose the honest path this one time. Sorry. Jeremy and I texted earlier today. That's what I'm going to do. Cool. I don't know. So she didn't even like react unfavorably, which when our kids were younger, would have been on like Donkey Kong and not in the best fun way. So then the next day during the show, me and Jeremy decided we were going to go see Twisters. But I felt like we had reached the point where I just couldn't. Hey, by the way, we're not going to a bar. We're actually going to go see the movie that you wanted to see with me today, but that I couldn't because I was going to go to the bar. So we risked it, right? No risk it, no biscuit. So we risked it. I didn't tell her. We went. It's an experience. It's not a bad movie, by the way. It's not a good movie either. It's definitely a big box office special effects movie about tornadoes with unnecessary dramatic storyline in it. You could have just put a bunch of tornadoes and, you know, shooting fireworks up a tornado's booty cheeks, and I would have been happy. But I digress. So then last night we also went. And when I say we, I mean Vanessa had no idea. And I took the girls and Vanessa and acted as if I've never seen this movie. So I actually did that as a tell of myself a little bit. While we're walking out, I was asking the girls, what do you think about the movie? What do you think about the movie? And Vanessa clearly, she was like, you don't really seem to have an opinion on the movie. And the truth is, it's because I got my opinions out the night before, or two nights before, with my buddy Jeremy. Coincidentally, I think he's doing the same thing that I'm doing. I think he's going to see the movie with his wife, and our wives don't know we've seen it already. Anyways, I did have two very distinctly different movie experiences. One, the one day I went to the XD theater. The next day I went to just a standard theater. Not really that noticeable. I think I might be paying for some therapy, though, because the geniuses that decided that they were going to market this movie put like three horror movie trailers before this movie, which my kids weren't the youngest. My kids are 10 and 13. My kids weren't the youngest kid in the theaters. A row behind us last night, there were kids that were like, they're like 4 and 6. And there's, I mean, honestly, dude, scary movies do not scare me anymore. They do scare most of the population. They scare my wife. I look over during like the second trailer, and both my kids, my twinnies, my 10-year-olds, have their fingers in their ears with their eyes shut. So thank you. I'd like to thank you to the movie going, or whatever the theater genius is. I want to thank you for the therapy. I'm going to have to pay for that. But I didn't just have two different movie theater experiences. I had two very different large men movie theaters experiences that have nothing to do with me. One, after the first screening on Friday, I walk into, Vanessa's running a CVS. She could be hearing this right now. But I walk in and there's a dude that is about half foot wider than me and about half foot taller than me. He looked like he belonged in WWE. And it was at that point that I realized I'm just not used to seeing very many people that are that much bigger than me. And me and Jeremy had a conversation of like, oh, yeah, that's rare. Like, he's like, it was like I was 7/8 scale to what this guy was. Like, if he's the exact model, I'm built to scale 7/8. So that was interesting. And then last night, I had to school my kids on what you do when you have people who are just ruder than hell around you. Because those young kids sat behind my oldest kid and kicked her seat every 5 seconds. Then, I'll be honest, there's just a big dude built just exactly like me who was just louder than hell. And I saw it on Vanessa's face. I saw it on my twins' face. Dude, my eye even twitched a little bit. And so we had to have, so in real time, I'm proud of my kids. There were no comments. There were no look behinds, which I absolutely at that age would have been rude as hell and just looked behind like, we got a problem, bub. But we had to have the conversation after the movies of like, you know, when you're in a public space and one of the things that can happen is that other people can be, whether it's unintentionally, intentionally rude, to which my 13-year-old said, I just want to tell him to shut the hell up. I was like, you're probably right on that one, but you shouldn't say that word. 216-474-0092. How do you handle rude people in the theater? Because I realized, I think we've all gotten a little too sensitive. I think we've all, and it's because we can watch a movie at home without any interruptions. That's if you don't have my three daughters. Like most of my nights are spent asking the girls to stop talking through a movie I would like to watch or a show I'd like to watch. I don't know most jokes anymore in great TV shows because my kids talk through them. So I've built an immunity to this nonsense. But we kind of had, it ended up being a really good thing because honestly, you should kind of be prepared for somebody to talk through the movie. Real quick here. Nick, we were just talking about Lamar Jackson and the narratives against Lamar. What you got, Nick?
I was just thinking that Lamar Jackson having a losing record in the playoffs is why people hold him to such a high standard. And I think it's, I don't even think he needs to win a Super Bowl, but once he makes a Super Bowl, I think everyone stops talking. But it's just right now, it's he can't get it done with his arm is always going to be the narrative. He wants to run first. His seasons when he couldn't use his legs were statistically his worst. And I think that is just always going to be kind of an albatross around his neck. But one Super Bowl appearance, you watch. People will be talking about him as a great.
It's interesting.
Thanks, man. I want to listen.
Oh, thanks, brother. I appreciate you. So it's interesting with that. I think when it comes to like, all right, for like Joe Burrow is a pocket passing version of Lamar Jackson, and he hasn't won a Super Bowl, and he's had injury histories. But yet, I don't hear people doubting Joe Burrow's ability to stay healthy coming off this year. Some of that is just style of play. There are other things at play we don't need to get to on a Monday at 4:53 p.m., but I just think mobile quarterbacks are held to a higher level of skepticism. And I really want to make it clear, again, Lamar is not solely a mobile quarterback, but his elite level trait has always been that with a really high level passer now. So it's elite running and high level passer instead of elite passer and high level running. I think in the NFL, those are two very different things.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh,
I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.